Amen. You know, the Lord may not keep us from the storm, but He'll keep us through the storm. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. We just love this minister tonight. He's not only a good neighbor, he's a good dad to our grandkids, and he's a good son-in-law to Nan and me, and we just love Brother Tony so very much. We've asked him this morning to help us out and minister to us tonight. So, Brother Tony, come take your liberty in the Lord. Amen. Just bless us with the Word of God tonight.
I don't guess I'll sing since they all sit down. You're welcome. You're welcome. Probably never seen people run out of church like that. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll read a few verses. Start with verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Excuse me. Says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Brother Eddie, would you mind?
Heavenly Father, we love and thank you, Lord, for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. For those who have gathered here tonight, Father, I pray your blessing. I pray your anointing. God, I pray right now, God, that you would anoint Brother Tony, God, as a vessel. God, that the Holy Spirit may speak to us tonight. God, I pray for all those in attendance tonight. God, if there's any needs here, Father, we know that you're able to meet those needs. I ask now, Lord, that we'll all be in one mind and one accord, receptive to the word that you have us to hear tonight. Help us not to be hearers only, but doers of your word as well. We be careful to give you praise. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. First of all, I stand up here tonight as humble as I can, and the appreciation to be able to stand up and tell about the good Lord. I was praying God about what to minister tonight, and man, you just start going through stories of the Bible, you start going through everything, and you start thinking, oh man, that'd be a good one. Ooh, that'd be good. But you get praying and seeking God, because I never want to be led by me. I never want to necessarily preach or teach what I feel that I need to. I want to seek God and follow in Him, and it's His Word. And I was back there in Brother Eddie's office. I'd got here a little early, and I was sitting in there. And I was just praying, seeking God, you know. And he's got a little cross on his desk. Somebody gave him his 1 Corinthians 13:4, and it just says love. And it was like it was just, it felt like it was like that long right in my face. Just love. And I could not get away from it. I could not get away. And I was like, God, that ain't one of the messages where you can get up there and scream and shout and run. Not that I've ever done it, but I want to one day. But I just felt it stirring in my heart about the love, because if you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard it preached. You've heard that scripture probably read. I know we've did quite a few weddings, and every one of them is in that little book, and every one of them you read that. Everybody, a lot of people can probably quote it. But I think we get turned away when we get talking about love, because love's used so just so loosely now. Everybody just loves everybody. It's okay, just love. But they don't really know what the meaning of love is. They don't really have that true love of what Christ is in their life. And that if you don't have that, then you can't really truly know what the love is, what that agape love is. That love that's unconditional, that don't stop, that don't quit, that never fades away, that never goes away, no matter what. And you see, a lot of times we feel like we could put the restrictions on what love is. Like, I can decide who I love and who I don't, and I can decide who I'm going to be nice to, who I'm not going to be nice to. I can decide all these things. Well, as I read the Word and I read this, if you don't mind, I'd like to read it also in the Amplified Version. Start with verse 4. It says, love endures long and is patient. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. First of all, I've already broke about every one of them that it said it wasn't, because I've been rude to people, I've been hateful to people, and I've even felt justified in it. You see, a lot of times as Christians, we feel that, we become self-righteous Christians. You know, the Bible says I can tell a tree by the fruit it bears, but I've yet to find a self-righteous tree bearing fruit out there. But yet I feel that way with myself sometimes. I've been talking to people and I've been around people, and I've even felt justified in myself that it's okay if I'm hateful to that person because they deserved it. And as long as I can justify what they deserved, I'm okay in telling them that, I'm okay in treating them that way. And unfortunately, I felt that way, and sometimes family's the ones you do it to worse. But I felt that way. Well, they deserve this, God. You know as well as I do, they do. And you know, I felt God tell me a lot of times, I've had a situation not long ago. I've always tried to be happy, pretty easygoing person, but I've had some issues with someone, and I did. I just let it stir in my heart, and it was whenever I think of them, I'd just be like, they just make me sick. So I had a talk with a person one time, pretty much tell them how I felt, and I felt good about it too. And it's a shame. It's a shame that I felt good about it. I didn't sin. I didn't cuss them out. I didn't do anything like that. I just was pretty straight and told them. Well, you know what? We had a service about a month or so ago, and I come down to the altar and just praying, and not necessarily over nothing, just praying with everybody. Well, God got stirring in my heart, and he got just churning on. And I'm like, oh, please don't do this. Well, I told my wife on the way home, I said, I've got to call that person and apologize to him. I have to. So I waited. Of course, I waited a few days to make sure it's God, you know, because I wasn't going to jump right into something, you know. I had to make sure he was letting it marinate that was him, because I didn't want to jump and be it myself, you know. But it did. It kept on and on. I finally had to make the phone call, and I apologized. And I didn't just say, well, God told me to do this, so we're doing it, and we're done with this, you know. But I did. I had to be honest. I had to be sincere. But when I did, when I called and I apologized and asked, I said, look, I was wrong. I said, I've held anger towards you. And regardless if I feel like I'm justified in it or not, I shouldn't be doing it. I said, and God's been dealing with my heart about it, and I can't hold this anymore. I said, I've got to ask you for your forgiveness. And luckily, they said yes, and we talked a little while, and God really worked things out that night. But the release I had in my heart, there's no words that can say what it done. There's no money that can give you that feeling of the release that you have. Because what we don't understand a lot of times is when we justify who we can love and we justify what we can do, then we're packing it in and we're packing it on, just like backpacks, packing full of stuff. I remember one time, I know several ministers have, but Laz come up here that one time with that backpack on. And a lot of times that's what we're doing. We're just packing and packing and packing stuff in there. And we say, you know, we can handle it. Ain't no big deal. We can handle it. Ain't no big deal. And then finally it just hits one day and we've got to do something with it. Yeah. We're angry all the time. We're frustrated. We're mad. And you're like, I don't know what it is. They don't nothing make me happy no more. And that's not how God's called us to be. But yet then I get soul searching and I see it's me. I've piled all this stuff in here. God's sitting there saying, if you give me every bit of that, I'll take it. I'll get it away from you. And I'll get it back to that love where you're supposed to be. But you see, I decided myself to hold it. I decided myself to keep it. I decided myself that I was going to be self-righteous and that I was going to be able to tell who I was going to love and wasn't going to love. You see, I've learned something about God. It's when you tell him what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, you may as well just go ahead and flip those two roles. Because there's a lot of times he's going to deal with you and he's going to tell you and he's going to break you down and show you, I rule this. I got this. You just better follow along. And it's a lot easier if you'll get on board quicker than it is to say, well, I'll wait a few more days, Lord, and we'll see how this works out. But it is. I've done it time and time again. Lord, I know this. Now, don't get me wrong. If it's something I feel like he wants me to do, he can just say, well, and I'm gone. But yeah, that was it. He's telling me. He's like, well, I was going to tell you, don't do that. But it is. But if it's something we don't like and something I can justify, then God, I need to go away from this just a little bit. But I got reading this, and it just started dealing with me. Five, it said, it's not conceited, arrogant, or inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, or does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Resentful. And that one was like a punch in the mouth. When I read it, I was like, okay, Lord. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Like I said, if I feel justified, if you've wronged me, I feel it's okay that I can not love Brother Chris like I should because he wronged me. And you see, that's not what God's Word is telling me. Because if I have Him living in my heart, if I have Him living and I'm trying to live for Him the best I can, then what He's telling me is, hey, it don't matter. I've been through what you're going through, and guess what? I forgave them and went on about my business. It's up to us to do the same. You see, when we say we want to be close to God, I want to live like God. I want to have His mind. I want to be close to God. I want to be just like Him. Then you got to be careful what you're saying, because what you're saying is He's had people spit in His face. He's had people pluck out His beard. He's had people hang Him on the cross, and yet He still loved them. So when I say I want to be like You, God, I want to have Your heart. I want to have Your mind. He's saying, okay, well, you're going to have to go through some of the things I've went through. Because you see, when we pray, a lot of times, Uncle Terry always told us when he was younger, don't pray for patience. He said, God doesn't give you patience. He gives you the opportunity to exercise that patience. He said, He didn't just come wake up one morning and said, man, I got patience. Thank You, Lord. He said, but there was obstacle after obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And that's what God does a lot of times, because a lot of kids, if you just give them everything they want, then they're spoiled. But if you make them work for it, then they earn it, then you respect it more. I know when you first get your house and all, you start paying for it, you're like, man, maybe I should have stayed at home. These bills just keep coming every month. Even around Christmas time, it wasn't like the house payment just said, I'll take you a break this month, this Christmas. They just kept coming. So you work for it, and the more you work for it, the more you understand, hey, this stuff ain't free. Well, it's the same way. We're working in, excuse me, we're working in Christ, and we see every day we grow more and more and more each day. And we ask things of God, and then we fuss and gripe when He gives us what we ask for. The Israelites, when He led them out of bondage, I've said so many times, they were a bunch of criers and complainers, God. You let them free. They seen the waters split, and yet they still turn around and fussed and gripe. I'd rather stayed back there where we were in bondage because, I mean, at least we had food and all then. Now we don't even have water. God's raining manna down. And for some reason, I didn't process that He rained it down all 40 years. I was thinking it was just for a little while, and I got reading a while back and realized that it was for 40 years He rained it down. He supplied their needs. And I get thinking about God, the times they got mad at You when they didn't have nothing to drink, and You let it come out of a rock. All these things You've done for them. Amen. Well, then I turn around and look at myself, and I see all these things God done for me, and I turn around and I fuss and I whine and I gripe and I grumble and I cry. And I tell God, please, God, help me grow. Help me grow in You. Help me to get deeper. Help my roots to get deeper. Then I turn around and I fuss and I gripe at God for giving me a trial that I'm going through. Well, if you want it and you ask for it, God's going to give it to you. That's the only way to get strong. The only way to have testimonies is to face the test, to go through the trials, to go through the heartaches, to go through the hard times. It's not easy to grow in Christ sometimes. It's not easy to grow, but it's needful. We need it, and we have to have it so that we can tell others. And there's people that have been through things in their life. I remember we had a child years ago that was in children's church. The little boy, his dad passed away and is having a hard time, you know. And I was like, Lord, some of these kids, and don't get me wrong, I know mentally I'm still, because I probably connect with them good because I tell them my brain's about the same as theirs, so we do good. But I always have had a heart for the kids. I always love the kids. And I was sitting there one day praying about, you know, what to teach, what to do, just something you can do. And God was telling me, this place is a place of refuge here. This place is church. This is their happiness. This is their strength. This is their comfort. This is their love. This is their getaway. And I really didn't understand everything kids went through, and especially Karen being a teacher. You see a lot of things the kids face at home. And this right here, this place, I know the church ain't just a building, Well, this place, and when they come, this should be where they can be who they are. They can have peace. They can have comfort. They can have love. And we can be able to tell them, hey, don't worry about it. And we should be able to tell them, hey, don't worry about it. I've been through those trials. I've been through those situations. And I understand what you're going through. And God's going to bring you through them because He's brought us through them. I think the Brother Keith's ministry is amazing. Because you sit and you listen to what he's faced, what they've been through, and what God has done for them. And not only them, but the lives that they've touched throughout. I mean, just our life, sitting in there listening, I'm like, oh my Lord, it's amazing what God has done. And what God done for them, He can do for us. And what He can do for me, He can do for everybody. He's not no respecter of persons. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about your skin color, your hair color, your eye color. Because see, it's us who puts that out there. And a lot of times as Christians, we feel like as long as we can look the part on the outside, then you're good. As long as I can wear a shirt and a tie, I don't like jackets much, but I can wear a shirt and tie, then I'm okay. And I look like a preacher up here. But it don't matter what you look like. It don't matter if you don't have your button-up shirt or your button-up tie up here. It don't matter. It's about what's inside the heart. When Samuel went to anoint, he cried over Saul, and God told him, I need you to anoint somebody else. Well, he sent Samuel, and Samuel went to anoint. And he picked David's brothers. He's like, man, he's got to be it. God said, no. And he's like, well, this one's got to be it. God said, he went through every one of them. God said, no, I'm not choosing any of them. Well, Samuel's like, all right, Lord. You got another one? And they said, yeah, we got one out in the field. Wood shepherd. They didn't even think enough to bring him. And he said, that's him. Go get him. We're not even going to sit down and eat until you get here. And Samuel was like, Lord, what is going on here? And God said, I don't look at the outer. Amen. I look at the inner. Yes. I look at that heart. Because David was a man after God's own heart. And that's who he looked for. And see, we can play the part of a Christian if we want to. We can play the part of who we think we are and live on our little self-righteous tree and do what we want. But that's not what we've called to do. We're not called to tear each other down. It's easy. Me and my dad was talking today at lunch. It's easy to tear somebody down. It's easy with words just to destroy people. The teenagers, I tell the girls in there and the guys, I said, it's easy right now where you're at to destroy somebody's life. Because as teenagers, you can think back as somebody that said something about you and it carried with you the rest of your life, whether it was positive, whether it was negative. And we do. We hold that power. We hold the power to encourage people, to lift each other up. And we hold the power to destroy people and to tear them down. It's up to us with what we want to do with it. Do we want to live in God's Word and do as He tells us with the love? Or do we want to turn it the other way? Because it's easy to bash and to tear each other down. And it's easy to get people on the bandwagon to start tearing. Because if I think something bad, then I can tell Sister Brenda, and then she can call Brother Tommy, and then he can call Brother Chris, and before you know it, we got 6-7 people telling something that may not even be true. Why? Because that's how. Because I control that. Right. You know, I control who I want to love, what I want to do. I don't even know where I got to. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights in its own way, for it is not self-seeking, is not touchy or fretful or resentful, takes no account of the evil done in it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. That's a hard one to deal with at times. Is ever ready to believe. This one right here is the one that really got me. It says, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. I had a friend tell me, he said, you know, I've made mistakes in my life. I've burnt bridges. I've hurt people. I've destroyed people. He said, I have. And he said, I've tried to change. I've talked to God. I've prayed, and I've tried to change. And he said, you know, I understand my wrongs, what I've done. I understand the people that I've hurt. He said, I understand that. He said, but should it be a life sentence for me that I have to pay for that every day and every time I see him? And you know, I'm the one that's give out that life sentence at times. I'm the one that said, I'm not going to forget that. Every time I see him, somehow, in some way, in the conversation, I'm going to kind of bring it up and I'm going to let him know. And I'm ashamed to say that I've done that. But as I read this tonight, I was like, Lord of mercy. Well, as they said that, it hit me. But then I read this tonight and I was like, Lord of mercy. I've been that person that says I've got the love of Christ living in me. I've got Christ living in my life. I live for Him. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. So therefore I let his light shine. I tell everybody about him, but yet I hold it back. And then I dim my light with stuff like this. You know, I believe our light can shine brighter than any light in the world. Like, I just picture us as lighthouses and God, that's light that's in us, shining, showing everybody. The whole purpose of the lighthouse is to guide the ships from the rocks. Well, that's our whole purpose. Those ships are out there lost at sea. Sometimes the seas are calm and smooth, and sometimes they're not. And I decide whether that light shines or whether it doesn't shine. And I've yet to see a person out on a ship that wants a lighthouse to cut their light off for them because it was too bright. I've not seen that and I've not heard that. But yet I feel like in myself, I feel like at times these ships that I know are sinking, that I know are going through rough terrain, that I know are coming in close to the rocks, I feel like those ships that I have been the one to cut my light away from and say, hey, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve the forgiveness. They don't deserve God's love. They don't deserve what He's given for me. But God said, if you deserve it, how do they not deserve it? How do they not deserve something you deserve? Because I'm no better than anybody else. As I told you tonight, I stand up here as humbly as I possibly can, because every one of you out there probably know more about the Bible and probably can do a better job than I can. But I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, God is telling me, this is your calling. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to talk about. But to tell about His love, and that I'm the one that decides not to do it. I'm the one that decides not to let that light shine. I'm the one that decides, oh, let's cut it off. And I've been that person. I've been wrong before in my life, time and time again, and I'll probably be wrong again. But God's showing me, it's time you get over that stuff, Tony. It's time you get past that stuff, because if you'll hold these anchors, then they'll keep you down. You know, anchors are great sometimes, but sometimes they're not. I got an uncle that, him and his son went fishing, and he said he bought him, they got the kayaks. He said he bought him, his son got a brand new anchor, and said he was excited. He said they paddled out to where they were going to be, and said he dropped his anchor, and said when he did, it got caught. And it somehow got caught with the current. And when it was rising, it was pushing his kayak down. And he said as it was pushing it down, it was hung up. He couldn't get it up. He couldn't move. He couldn't do anything. He just started sinking. So see, sometimes them anchors are going to pull us down. Sometimes they're going to weigh us down. Sometimes they're going to get us in dangerous situations. You know, we think it's good. Just throw it out and say what we want. Do what we want. It's okay, because I've also been the type of person at work that it's okay because they know how I am. I mean, you know. They know I'm a Christian, and they know I talk about God and I say this. So everything else just falls into place. But it's not that way, because those are the souls that I see every single day. Those are the souls that are out there in them waters that are choppy, that are breaking down. And I need to be that light shining through. Amen. Just like him anchors caught him and was dragging him down, and my uncle said I had to jump out of my kayak, swim over there and try to get him. And he said, thankfully, at the last minute, before it went all the way under, it just turned loose and it come up. But the anchors got him in trouble. And that's what we'll do a lot of times. A lot of times we'll just let these anchors just pull and pull and pull and pull us to becomes where it just becomes a distraction, where it becomes where it's heartache, where it's heartbreaking. Man, that's not what we're called to do. These people that I felt that I've done this to, love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. And I've not believed the best in every person. I used to be proud of myself that I was a positive person. I always try to stay optimistic. I always try to look at the outcome of things. I always try to see the best in things. And then you start letting it come in where this person ain't good enough, or that person ain't good enough, or this ain't good enough. And then before you know it, that optimistic person has now become a pessimistic person. Everything is negative. Everything's bad. Nothing's good. Nothing's going to work. And you become a miserable person. I've learned in my life when I've looked and I've caught myself where I've just been just ill and I can't get happy. They don't know, you know, well, I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm just, something just ain't right. I've learned this because that's when I get out of the Word of God or out of the will of God. It's when I started doing what I wanted to do. You know what my little self-righteous tree allows me to do. Well, God, I'm justified in this. Well, when I get reading this, God tells me I'm not justified in nothing. The only thing I'm justified in doing is forgiving everybody for whatever they've ever done and turning my life around. Because, see, these people that is ready to believe the best of every person, hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. You see, my problem is a lot of times I've had it where it endures, but it weakens, and it weakens, and it weakens, and then it was just cut out and it was gone. I'm not proud to say that I was angry at that person, that I held anger in my heart towards them. I'm not proud to say that at all, because I try to teach the kids in kids' church. I try to teach the kids and the teenagers, and we try to tell them this stuff. And then just a few months ago, or a month or so ago, before God really got dealing with me, or when He got dealing with me, I was like, you know, how can I tell the teenagers and the kids' church to do something I'm not willing to do myself? How can I tell them, just let it go, don't let it bother you, God will take care of everything. And I'm telling them this, and I'm wanting them to believe this, and yet I'm still holding on to it in my heart. God said, how do you expect them to believe it? How do you expect them to be able to live it if you can't live it? You've got to be able to tell them. You've got to be able to show them. And the only way I can show them is to do it myself. So I had to let go of that. So now I can tell them, hey, if you've got a burden, if you've got something weighing you down, if you've got something pulling you down, don't worry, because God can get rid of it. Yeah. If you got to call and apologize, get over it. Get your pride, throw it behind you and apologize. Yeah, it's hard, and it was hard for me to apologize. But you know what? God said, if you'll do this for me, it'll be amazing the doors I can open for you. It'll be amazing what I do for you. Right. And all we got to do is humble ourselves sometimes and get over ourselves and get out of our little self-righteous tree that we get in. And we think we're justified to be in. It says, love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for a prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be supersessed by truth. Love never fails.
Amen.
Love is with us. Love's going to be with us. That's what God's called us to do. That's what we've called to show people. That's what we've called to witness to people. Because if we don't show it, if we don't live it, and you know, a lot of times I've learned in my life that I can tell people pretty much whatever I want to tell them. I can tell you how good of a Christian I am. Like I said, we can look the part. And I can tell you how good I am. But I've learned there's a lot of people that sit back and watch more than they talk. And these people that sit back and watch more than they talk notice when this Christian you supposedly tell everybody are, you really ain't acting like it. Whether you're in an ill mood or whether you didn't get enough sleep or whatever it is we feel justified in saying. But these people sit back and watch. So it made me think, all right now, I got people watching me. Once I say it, I got people watching me. So I've got to be able to stand and I've got to be able to do what I say I'm going to do. If I tell them I'm a Christian, I've got to be able to take it on the chin and say, all right, Lord, what do we need to do with this one? I really want to go over and choke him, but I'm pretty sure you don't want that. And He will. He'll call you, he'll reel you in. He'll be like, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. And a lot of times I'm in my little tree and I'm like, all right, Lord, that ain't really what I think we ought to do. I give it a little time to marinate to make sure that's not what He wants. So, in John chapter 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Amen.
For without me, ye can do nothing.
Yes.
You know, these lives we live, they're short. They may seem 60, 70, 80 years, and I know a lot of times it may seem long, but it's short. We've been through, I think probably, I'd have to ask Karen, probably 5 or 6 funerals this year. Within the past few months, probably. Our lives seem long, they seem like they're hard. But when you see a family who's broken, has lost their loved one, it makes you think, this life ain't as hard as I thought it was. It's not as hard as I make it out to be. You see, the problem with us a lot of times is ourselves. Like I said, we're the ones that feel self-righteous. We're the ones that feel justified. We're the ones that feel like we can control what we do, what we say. And to a certain extent, we can. But it's time, I think, we start living for God. Because it says, for without me, you can do nothing. If you don't have God in your life, if you've not given your life to Christ, then you can't do anything. You may think you do good. You may think you have good stuff. But if you'll give your life to Christ, your life will change for the better, I promise you. I've not met anybody who's given their life to Christ, regardless if they've lost everything, and said, man, it was worth losing it all. You know, I feel sometimes that in myself, that I'm to show this love and that I'm to show the enjoyment. Because we hear a lot of times, we hear the down, the despair, the heartache, the heartbreak, the hurt. We hear all this stuff. And then a guy at a rodeo come up to me and say, we do a lineman's rodeo. It's not riding bulls. It's just climbing poles. Well, we did that, and I had a guy come up to me afterwards and say, hey, man, he said, I'd like to know if you pray for my mom. My mom's got brain and lung cancer. She's been doing chemo treatments, and she's been not doing real good. I said, yeah, man, not a problem at all. So I told him, I said, we'll be praying for her. I'll tell our church. And I did. Teens, every Wednesday night we pray for her. And I prayed for her at home. Well, I learned that we tell a lot of the bad, but the good we very rarely get out. I don't. I'm bad about it. So Brother Keith is excellent at calling me and saying, do you want to hear something good? And I'm like, all right, go for it. I love it. You can always use something positive in your day. I said, yeah, go for it. And he'll tell me something great's happened. I'm like, oh, man, that's amazing. And it lifts me up. It encourages me. It tells me, hey, God ain't off the throne. He ain't done doing what we're asking and what we're praying and what we're seeking God for. He calls me, and I'll be, man, that's exciting. So I called him the other day, and I said, hey, you always call me, and I never call you. This time, do you want to hear something good? We had actually went to my aunt. It was her husband's funeral. And I got the opportunity to say a prayer in it, so I kind of sat up front. And then we went to the graveside, and when we were here, I felt my phone vibrating. You know, I'm like, I should have left that thing in the truck. So I ignore it, and I go on. Well, when I got back in the truck and got going in the road, I looked at it, and it was from the guy that asked me to pray. And every once in a while, I text him every couple weeks, say, hey, how's everything going? And he'd be like, well, we're still struggling, you know. And I tried to encourage him, tried to uplift him, and I got that. And it already, you know, we've already had quite a few deaths this year, and I look at his text, and I see his name, and I'm like, that ain't going to be good. It's going to be his mother. And I looked, and he said, hey, my mom's cancer is gone now. And I went, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you where my thought went. She passed away. And God, when I finished reading the text, he was like, you moron, you've been praying for this. It said, I just want to let you know my mom's cancer is gone. The doctors do not know what to say, and we give God all the glory. And you know, I've said it a few times, and I've told people about the testimony, and then you know what else I said? About, yeah, and God said that, you know, it was gone, and God can do everything. That's exactly what we did. We're staring at each other, and I'm like, man, they're not really excited to hear that. And then I was like, you know what? I've not been excited to tell it. I've not really told people what God can do. I've just been like, well, this is what I have, and go for it. And you're waiting on them to excite you. Come on, be excited about it. But it's not. It was the fault lied in me because I wasn't really telling them what God had done. This was a lady who had brain and lung cancer, and God delivered her. God healed her. And the doctors, what amazed me is when it said the doctors have no clue what to say. And I'm going to show you how great God is another way. Years ago, we had a Bible study at work, and there was a guy that come. He taught that morning, and he asked prayer for his wife and his daughter, or his baby, because they were going to a specialist, and it didn't look good for the baby. Okay, well, I told the guy, and I've probably told y'all this before, but I told the guy, when we left, I just felt it in my heart. I said, hey, man, we're going to be praying for you. Shook his hand. He went on. It was the first time I'd ever met the guy. He said, okay. Well, that night, I'm going to bed. I get in the bed. You know, you get your covers up, and you're comfy, and this has been a few years ago. Well, it's been probably 7 years ago, 7, 8 years ago. And I was getting ready, got in bed, you know, and I felt God saying to me, go pray for that little girl. And I'm like, okay, I'll pray right here. And I felt like God was telling me, no, get up and go pray for him. And in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if I get up and I go pray, I'm going to have to get out of this warm but comfy bed. But I said, okay. And I said, you know, if I was to lay here and pray, and something happened to the little girl and the mother, it probably really wouldn't ever affect me because I don't really know these people. I just met him one time. Probably never see the guy again for the rest of my life. Well, I got up because you know when the Lord gets dealing with you, you're either going to get up or you're going to lay in that bed all night and not sleep a week and be as miserable as you can. So I said, all right, Lord, I'll get up. I'm slow, but I ain't that slow. I got you, Lord. So I went in there, I did, and I'm not trying to say this to anything, but I went in there and I prayed. I got in the living room by myself, I prayed, I read my Bible that night, and I believed with everything in my heart, there was a fire ignited in me, and I said, God's going to heal this. God's taking care of this situation. Well, the guy that had him at our work that day, his buddy, I run into him at Martin's. He is in the drive-thru. And I said, hey, man. I said, I want you to call your buddy and tell him everything's going to be fine with his daughter. And he was like, yeah, I'll tell him. I said, no, dude, I'm serious. I want you to call him. And I said, everything's going to be good. And he was like, yeah, I know. He said, we're praying too. And I said, no, sir. The third time, you know, he's like, God, I said, look, I don't think you understand what I'm telling you. I said, I don't think you understand what I got in here that God's just stirred me up. I said, he got me out of bed last night. I said, this baby's going to be fine. Everything's going to be okay. You got to tell this guy this. So he was like, okay. He was like, I'll tell him. But he did. He just couldn't get it. Why? Because he wasn't where I was at right then. He wasn't in there praying that night. He wasn't in there seeing what God was doing. Now, I know he had the faith that God could deliver. But I was in there that night, and God was telling me, if you just stop being lazy, if you'll quit being lazy for a few minutes, come in here, quit being selfish. Start being selfless. Get in here. Pray for somebody. God will answer the prayer. God will move. God will deliver. So I went in there, and I prayed, and I told him that morning, I said, I want you to go, and I want you to call him. I was in the bucket working. I'd boomed down and had a missed call, and I looked at my phone and it was him. He said, man, I don't know where you at or what you're doing. He said, but I want you to get ready to run. He said, because my friend went to the doctor and they're telling him there wasn't a thing wrong with the little girl. There wasn't a thing wrong with the mother. They both were fine. So I'm like, man, that's exciting. That's great. I knew God can. I was in the bucket just wanting to shout in the bucket. So I was like, man, I boomed up. And the guy that was with me, I was telling him about it, telling him how great God is. Well, I want you to know Katie was invited to a swimming party about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know these people, but Karen was like, look, they were at a award show, award ceremony, and they were the nicest people, seemed like Christian people. Just she said, you know, I just kind of felt good. I was like, fine, I'll let her go. So we went, I took her, and I walked in, and the lady invited me into the house, met the husband, he was busy doing something, and he shook my hand, he walked and he looked, and he said, where do I know you from? I said, I don't have a clue, man. He was like, you work at Greystone? I said, yes, sir. He just stared at me, you know, and I'm like, I know I'm funny looking, but say something. Anyhow, he was in the middle of something, and he was like, okay, so he went back doing what he was doing, and so we left, and I was like, man, he did look familiar, but so we went on with that night. I went in to get Katie, and he was sitting down in the chair, and I walked in, and he was like, man, I know you, and he said, but I don't know where, so he got asking me. He said, you said you were at Grayson's. Yes, sir. He said, did you used to go to the Bible study, or did you play golf? I said, Lord, no. He said, did you go to the Bible study? I said, yes, sir. I went to the Bible study there. He said, that's where I seen you from. And I was like, yes, sir, I went. He's like, that's where I know you from. And that was it. And I felt, I don't know if it's just me or what, because usually if I don't know you, I don't really say too much. You can tell if I do know you, I'll talk your ears off. But I didn't know him, you know, so I was sitting there, and I felt God telling me, this is him. This is him. And I went, hey, man, let me ask you a question. He said, yeah. I said, you wasn't the one that taught and then asked prayer for your daughter and your wife going to the doctor the next day. He said, yeah, that's exactly who I am. And I went, let me tell you what God done. So I did. And I'm telling you, when I told him about it, he got up and got excited as I did. And he said, let me tell you about my little girl we had that was completely healthy. He said, she was a wild little animal. He said, but she is completely healthy. God healed her. He healed my wife. Everything was fine. And right before I left, they had got through swimming. And she had come in and hugged him and said, hey, Daddy. And she was about 7 or 8 years old. And he said, this is her. This is the one. And man, I'm telling you, we could have had church sitting in his living room. Because that goes to show what I thought. God, it'll never touch my life. It'll never hear anything from these people, regardless what happens. Little did I know, 8 years down the road, that I would see God's blessings. Little did I know, 8 years would go by and I would see God's mercy, that I would see His miracles working, that I would see Him saying, hey, because you wasn't lazy, because you quit being tired, because you quit being selfish, you started being selfless. This is what happens. He says, this is what I can do if you'll quit being you and start being who I want you to be. I'm telling you, we could have church in that man's house. He said, man, we have got to get together and go eat or something. He said, because that is amazing. And it was amazing to see God. You know, a lot of times we got prayers that aren't answered. We got prayers that we feel are still out and God's turned His ear to, like, or turned a deaf ear to. But I'm telling you, it took 8 years for me to see. Now, don't get me wrong. I understood that guy was probably excited when they went to the doctor. But to really, for me to see, for God to let me see that, me being selfless when I, and it's not me, but it was God. I believe it was the obedience. Because it says obedience is better than sacrifice. And I believe if we quit being lazy, if we quit being selfish, we'll start being selfless, and we'll start seeing God do more miracles. We'll start seeing Him delivering. We'll start seeing Him healing. Even though the prayers may not be answered right now, don't give up on them. Don't quit. Because just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they got through in the fiery furnace, they said, even though He may not deliver me, know that He can. Even though I may be still walking through my trial, I may be walking through a situation, I may be walking through these things that I can't get my head above water, but I know without a shadow of a doubt that the God I serve will let me get my head above water. I know without a shadow of a doubt He's going to. Why? Because He said, if I trust in Him, if I believe in Him, there's times in His Word where we got to stand up. There's times in His Word where we got to go meet Him halfway. And there's times in His Word where we just got to sit down and be still. And those are the hardest times ever. But know that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever you're seeing, it don't matter. Because God hears you cry. God hears you plead. God sees your heart. He knows what you need. If it's salvation, come and get salvation. Because it's sitting there waiting on you. If it's a healing, if it's deliverance, whatever it may be, come get it. Because God's got it waiting on us. Amen. It's up to us. We got to get out of that self-righteous tree. We got to quit being who we think we should be. And stop being better than everybody else. And start realizing we're the lowly of the low. That's all right if people think that they can walk all over me. Because you know what? They thought they could walk all over my God too. And you see what He done. It's all right if it'll touch lives, if it'll change lives. God's got the answer for every problem we have. The older I get, the more I read, the more I see that everything that goes on in the world, everything I see that I face, God's got the answer right here. It's up to me to just get off that little self-righteous tree and get down and get in His Word. And when I do, I see that He's going to heal. I see that He's going to deliver. I see that He's going to move. It don't matter if it's cancer. It don't matter what it is it faces. God can deliver. God can move, and God will. He said He'll hear our cry. David, I love reading about David. And there was not a person in the Bible that I read that could repent and cry out to the Lord like David did. David didn't always get what he wanted. He didn't always get the answer he wanted. When he had the affair with Bathsheba and had her husband killed, that child died. David had to eat some humble pie. He had to realize. But then next, what did he have? He had Solomon, which was the greatest and wisest king. God blessed him. Amen. God blessed him. A lot of times in our life, and I say our life, I'm talking about myself. I'm the world's worst of criticizing, of tearing down, and I don't want to be that person no more. I don't want to be a person that discourages others. I want to be a person that encourages. And it's easy to say, I want to encourage, not discourage, but I want to be the one that actually does it. I want to see people come in with their head down and be able to lift them up, to be able to encourage them, be able to tell them, hey, it's all right. I've been through trials too, brother. I've been through trials and troubles. And you know what? There ain't no one time I found that God's left me in the middle of it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was through in the fiery furnace. And what did God do? He pulled them out. They didn't even smell. Has anybody ever been around a fire within 1,000-yard radius? You're going to smell like that fire. But they come out not even smelling a smoke because God delivered. And I'm here to tell you tonight, and if you're facing anything, if you're going through anything, God can deliver you as well. God can move. God can take away and turn any situation around. The first thing is salvation, is giving our life to Him. And if we'll give it to Him, God said He'll take everything else. Amen. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our burdens are heavy if we just take His. Tonight, I felt like I've given what God's put in my heart. It was mainly about the love, because we should love each other. Amen. And there's a difference in saying it, and there's a difference in doing it. Amen. I heard somebody say today as we went to the funeral, he's like, you know what? He said, my daddy didn't think he had a lot of friends on. He said, this place was packed, because that's love. We love each other. We're to be there for each other. Love's not just saying. Love is showing. I remember Sister Coleman. I can remember her a year when we was little. She used to take groceries to people. I remember J.R. said she'd just tell him load up, was going to get stuff and taking it. He said he wouldn't know where they was going or who it was to, but she'd be telling him what to do. But that's love, reaching out to our brothers and sisters. If you know anybody that's hurting, if you know anybody that's broken, anybody that's going through troubles or trials, don't give up on them. Hold on to them. And I'm telling you, I've been one that's held on to the anger and the bad part. And he got dealing with me, I'm telling you, I had to let it go. So if you're facing anything, if you're going through any trials, know that we serve a God that is never failing. We serve a God that never stops, that never quits, that never sleeps. It don't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, he's still sitting right there with us. If you would, I'll stand. If you would, I'll bow your head and close your eyes.